welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
Glad you tuned in again this time. We're picking up our study here in Luke chapter 15. As we refer to it, the parable of the prodigal son. But the thing is, as we see it, there's no mention that it is a parable. Yes, the two accounts listed before, what the Lord has instructed in about the sheep, the 100 sheep and the one lost, and the coin, the 10 coins and the one lost. Indeed, those are parables. But in this, the Lord says a certain man, and so we refer to it this way, but it very well may be a real account. Our Lord knows. Nevertheless, he uses that to show us a spiritual truth, that what the Lord is looking for sinners to do is repent, to repent of their sins. You know what? Repentance is not preached by many preachers anymore, by many churches. The repentance of sins, the admission of guilt before God, we just kind of brush around it and don't want to talk about it a whole lot. And the reason that is because it's an unpleasant thing to admit that you are wrong. It's an unpleasant thing to admit that you're wicked. But you say, Brother Jim, I'm just a youngster. I've just lived just a few years, and maybe you're a teenager, or maybe even you're in your 20s, and say, I've not got off into a bunch of wickedness and all that. I'm not that bad. Oh, you know the truth that you are wicked before God. Now, everyone is wicked. It tells us in the book of Romans that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord has declared unto us and told us the truth that all men everywhere, and that's not talking about males, that's talking about mankind, all men everywhere that are drawing breath need to repent before God. We're guilty. We're guilty. At the very least, you and I have sinned in our hearts against God. And the thing is, as children, we know that we've done things that are wicked and disobedient to our parents and the Lord. We're sinners. You just cannot get away from it. You are a sinner before God, and you need to repent of your sins before Him. This account of these two sons, the one that asks his father for all his inheritance, he goes off and wastes it. He comes back. He remembers the faithfulness and the mercy and compassion, the words and the operation and practice of his father, and he goes back. His father receives him gladly, not as a hired servant, as the young man had been brought to declare and desire, but as his son, as his son. He spared no expense. But we have the elder son out there. He's out in the field. He's being very obedient, and well, he should. And he has a quarrel with his father. He comes into the house. He asks about all the celebration going on. One of the servants said, hey, your brother's back. Your brother has come back, and your father's killed for him the fatted calf. He was, and that started this elder brother just to fume. It says in verse 28 of Luke chapter 15, and he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him, saying, come on in. Come on in and join us. Join us in the festivity and the rejoicing. And he said, the elder son to the father, he said unto his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. The attitude of this elder brother has become, I should be rewarded for my obedience. And you know what? That's not what it's about in serving the Lord. I'm afraid, and I've understood it even in my own life, that there are those that look to serve. They look to try to serve the Lord to keep the Lord off their back. And the thing is what should constrain saved sinners, children of God, what should constrain us and motivate us and drive us to serve our Lord and be obedient to Him, is His love for us and our love for Him. I think that's what's indicated and given in the Scriptures. But this man, he had come to a point that he was serving the Lord out of duty, serving the Lord out of rigor, and he expected a payment for his service of the Lord. Understand, for salvation, The Lord is saving our souls and saving sinners' souls and forgiving us of our sins through His Son. There's no way we can pay our Lord back. There's no way that we can barter and trade with God Almighty. There's no way that we can step up before God and expect a due reward for our obedience and righteousness in obedience. Who are we to come before God and demand anything of God Almighty? Yet there are many that do. There are many that think that they obey, and therefore that gives them place with God. That God's just kind of like a Santa Claus that's up there just ready to pour out whatever men command him to do. I tell you what, God is God Almighty. And he does, as Brother Nebuchadnezzar said, he does what he wants under the inhabitants of men in heaven and on earth. And the thing is, we're guilty and we're wicked and we're sinners before him. And when he saves us, oh, we need to be willing to be the hired servant. We need to be willing to be the servant, because that's what we are. The scripture says those who are saved have been bought with a price. We're not our own. But this young man, this elder son, he said, I serve you all these years, and I never went against what you said in any way, but he had a hard heart in it. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. I think the indication that we have here, folks, is that the man never asked. He was working for what he wanted or what he thought his duty was. And I'm not saying that the man's not saved. I think what we have here is an example of bad attitude. That's what's being declared unto us here is that, yeah, even the children of God, those that are in the household, can have a bad attitude and a misunderstanding. Rather than rejoice in the compassion and the calling and the words and the comfort and the faithfulness of the Father, this man was serving by rigor and by duty, expecting something from it. He never asked for his Father to do such a thing for him. And our Lord tells us indeed that we are to ask. Why? We are not self-sufficient. We don't have any ability of our own. We cannot make or find our own way. But indeed we are to ask a loving Father that has saved us and to serve him with gladness. You know, that's one of the gripes that the Lord had against Israel, is they didn't serve the Lord with gladness for the abundance of all things. Do you think that this man lacked in, this elder son lacked in any way? He lacked in no wise. And yet he serves his Father with rigor and with duty and without compassion and mercy and love. He says here in verse number 30, the elder son speaking to his father, but as soon as this thy son has come, which hath devoured is thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. He said he's gone out and done bad. And you've rewarded him. How can that be right? I never did anything like this. And you never rewarded me. He said, and the father replies unto him, and it's just a sobering, straightforward statement. In verse number 31 of Luke 15, and he, the father, said unto him, the elder son, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Certainly the scriptures don't promote a health and wealth gospel. Those that are saved and follow the Lord and are obedient to him, seek to live righteously and be obedient to the Father, be filled with the fruit of the Spirit, are going to be rejected and misunderstood by this world. It's just that way. It's just that way. But the thing is that there is an element here where the children of God have at their disposal all that the Father has. Now the thing is as we pray and as we ask for that which we need, which we are to do so, we always yield to the will of the Father, because he's got a purpose and plan in all things, and he's got a purpose and plan in each one of our lives. And we need to rejoice in that, not be bitter in that. We need to know that if we have a need, our Lord will supply it, and we need to go to our Lord as a loving Heavenly Father, the loving Heavenly Father that he is. He said, you're always with me. You've never been separated from me, and all that I have is yours. He said it was suitable, the Father speaks on in verse 32. It was right, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. We've got something to celebrate. He's here with us where life is. He's not separated us from us where death is and destruction, but he's here near with us. He's here living with us. He has been gained and brought back to us, with us, son. He's found. We don't wonder anymore where he is. He's found. He's with us. He's alive. We've got a blessing of a future together rather than him being separated from us. Oh, it's right for us to rejoice. It's right for us to rejoice that as he has come in repentance, he will never want to go away again. Again. He'll never go away again. He said it's right. In heaven, in that rejoicing in the presence of the angels, I take that and I think of that, influence or the reference there being our Lord Jesus. At the martyr of Stephen in Acts chapter 7, I believe, Brother Stephen declares as he's being stoned to death there that he sees Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. The Lord, precious in the eyes of the Lord, is the death of his saints. And so I think that rejoicing is our Lord Jesus Christ. You think the saints that are in glory are grumbling and murmuring and fussing and complaining when wicked sinners repent of their sins and are saved by the Lord in heaven? You think that they're doing that? No, they're rejoicing with our Lord indeed over sinners that repent. Sinners that repent, that obey the word of the Lord and trust and rest in him, and him alone for the salvation of their souls. Should we do anything different than what is being done in heaven? By no means. We need to line up with our Lord and rejoice with him over sinners that repent and believe, trust in Christ, and are saved from their sins and their wickedness in this old, old, wicked world. I see that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.